where do you get replacement cell phone repair parts? This is a question I get from a lot of people, and I wish that I could give you a very short, concise answer and say, hey, just go to this place and buy them. But unfortunately, the answer is a little more complex than that for a number of reasons. Now, first of all, there are some qualifiers that I usually use when someone approaches me with, you know, to get that information. And the first one is going to be, what exactly is your goal? Are you repairing a single phone? Is it one project you're working on? Are you in the phone repair business now and you want to find a distributor that can supply you with parts? Also, are you inside of the United States? Because for the most part, I cannot give you too much information when it comes to buying parts outside of the US. This is where I do business. I have quite a bit of familiarity with how it works here, but outside of that, it becomes much more difficult. And any different country might have a different set of rules, import taxes, procedures, and so forth. So I do know that a couple of people have approached me from places like Australia, where apparently it's a little more difficult to get parts, cost more to get them shipped there. And I will have to do a follow-up and try to help you out later on, because I don't have the answers for that group of people. So for the time being, I want to address within the United States, when we're looking at phone repair parts, again, I can't say go to this specific place for a number of reasons. First of all, if you're buying a single part, so you're a consumer, you want to do it yourself, which is what my site and my YouTube channel are primarily focused on. It's for one person who wants a do-it-yourself project that they can complete. So in that situation, I usually refer people to online sellers or online, I want to say e-commerce websites, but I'm specifically talking about companies that conduct business with a variety of different products. So what I'm referring to more specifically would be eBay, Amazon, things along those lines. And the reason for my recommendation to those sellers, I want to explain in great detail why I would say if you're going to buy a one-time or make a one-time purchase for a part, why I might refer you to one of those websites as opposed to if you were saying, hey, I want to get into the business of repairing phones and I need to get iPhone screens. Where do I get them from? I would direct you somewhere completely different for a variety of reasons. Now, I personally do not sell too much on eBay. I don't sell too much on Amazon, and I have my reasons for doing that. And I want to tell you right up front, no matter where you are or what it is that you're doing as far as conducting business, or even if you're just a customer, across the board, it seems to be much easier to make purchases online than to sell things online if you're using a third party like eBay, Amazon, etc. And it's pretty easy to imagine why. The bottom line is that these companies want to maintain their integrity and they want people to trust them and feel comfortable buying there. So they will go out of their way to keep their buyers and their customers happy. So what I'm saying is when it comes down to a dispute, you can assume that there is a certain amount of favor automatically given to the customer. And this is why, despite the fact that consistency does become an issue, so you may buy something on eBay, for example, and then go back to buy that same product a month or two later, and for a number of reasons, one of them being that you may not be buying from the same seller because they may not have that same item available, you could end up with something completely different. It's very difficult to know exactly what level of quality you're going to be getting. However, if there is a problem with the purchase, they make every effort to allow you to return the product for a refund or get an exchange or have that product replaced. So in that situation, I would say they operate more along the lines of the customer is always right. Well, not always, but a lot of times. So there's certain benefit of the doubt that's giving to the buyer over the seller in many cases. Now, this isn't 100%, obviously. If it were, people would be taking advantage of this on a regular basis, and no one would want to sell anything through those websites online. But it does happen to a certain degree. So something definitely to be aware of, and know that this, as a buyer, this is going to work in your favor if you have any problems. Now, of course, the downside to that is that you've got to wait for the item to be shipped. And if you've only bought one and it doesn't work, it's going to slow you down because now you've got to return it and wait for another or a replacement. The other thing to consider, or at least one other thing to consider, is that a lot of times when you look at items online, they may not be coming from a supplier within the United States. So if you're in the US and you want to order a part, you obviously want to be very careful to see where that part is coming from, because in some cases it is coming from outside the country. And in that situation, you can expect the delivery time to be delayed by quite a bit. Sometimes it can take several weeks or more than a month for a single item to arrive. So obviously, when it comes to phone repairs, usually time is of the essence, and waiting for something to come from outside the country is not realistic for a lot of people. Now, the good news is that, and oddly enough, I don't know how many of you were aware of this, I only found out about it recently, but I was very surprised to learn that you can have something delivered to your residence or your place of business from outside the country, specifically from China, which is where a lot of these replacement parts come from, with absolutely zero shipping fees. Now, you'll have to check for this. Not everyone provides free shipping options, but many of them do. And I couldn't figure out, you know, let me give you an example. If I'm buying something very small, so there was a tool that I needed, and that specific tool cost me, let's say it's, I don't know, $3, right? And I'm ordering this tool from China, and they're charging me $3 for this part, yet they have to ship it thousands of miles to get it to me. Now, how can they realistically be making a profit? Because you assume they've got to be paying, you know, a few dollars in shipping to get it here, right? Well, wrong. There is a specific reason why you can get things from outside of the country with zero shipping fees, and that is because the supplier that is sending you that part does not pay for shipping. How is that possible? And more importantly, how can I do the same thing? Well, unfortunately, you can't. So there is a special agreement with China that is designed to promote trade, I assume, and it's using a service called ePacket. So Chinese vendors can ship things all the way to the US. They will arrive and be sorted by the local post office and delivered to your residence or place of business at no charge. So that means that everyone involved in this process, from the time that item arrives inside the United States, no one is getting paid for processing that piece of merchandise. From the moment it gets to, you know, assuming it's coming in on a boat somewhere, from the moment it gets to port till the moment it gets to you, all of that processing is for free. We are doing it for nothing. Now, I'm not here to complain about it or say what a great deal it is or, you know, really side one way or another. I just want to bring that to everyone's attention because it would just blew my mind when I found out about this. And considering the new administration that we have within the US, I don't know how long that's going to last or whether it's going to continue or not. But at least for the time being, in many cases, you have the option of buying parts and supplies from China. And the reason that this may be a good idea for you, if you're not in a hurry, is that you can get them at a significantly lower cost because no one has to pay for the shipping inside the US. So, you know, whether you feel it's fair or not, it is, that is the way that it is for the time being. Now, as a consumer, if you're trying to fix your phone and you want to get it done next week, that obviously would not be the correct option for you. And while you could choose something else like DHL in order to have that item ship faster, you would have to pay for it at a premium price. And then this is the point where I start saying it's time to look at local suppliers who do charge a shipping fee, because it's still going to be significantly less than having something shipped in from outside the country. And of course, that comes with some downsides. The main one being that if you were to receive a piece of merchandise from China or anywhere else and have a problem with it, how do you go about returning that item? Well, if it was a very low cost item, let's say it's, you know, a couple dollars, in most cases, you'll find that the vendor will say, you know what, we'll just send you a replacement, because for you to pack that up and ship it is going to cost you probably more than the item's worth. On the other hand, if you spend a lot of money, let's say you buy a $75 screen and you have it shipped from China ePacket delivery and it arrives damaged, defective, or there's any other problem with it, A, How do you go about returning this? Because obviously there will be some significant shipping charges involved. B, I can tell you, well, I can repeat from what someone else told me. So this is more along the lines of, let me give you a disclaimer. I do not want to put this in print, and I'm not saying this is the case all the time, but I do know that people who deal internationally, and one of the problems that they have run into when it comes to returning things to some place outside the country is that those shipments may get tied up in a number of different places once they leave the US. So it gets to China and somehow gets misplaced, gets lost, gets stopped in customs. You know, a number of things can go wrong. And if you add into that potential for problems is another consideration. And that can be that if you happen to be dealing with someone who is not completely honest, they may get the part delivered and say, you know, it never showed up. And what kind of proof, you know, what kind of documentation do you have unless you've spent a lot of extra money to track this package somehow? You know, it's going to be a lot more difficult for you to get your money back and for you to get a replacement part, and the turnaround time is going to be significant. So for that reason, in many cases, unless you have a good relationship with the supplier outside the country, I recommend people stay away from. So you can generally find a lot of parts for about the same price online. You may have to pay some shipping fees, but when it comes to returning that product, should there be a problem, you're in a much better position. So if I get something through eBay, and even if it came from China, if I get something from Amazon that came from China and I have a problem with that item, I have several layers of protection in most cases. You know, I have the vendor who I can contact directly and who is most likely very concerned about their reputation online. So they will typically be willing to go out of their way to help me. I also have the company that I made that, well, I don't know if you want to call it fulfilled the order, but I have the company who set up the purchase. So whether it's eBay, Amazon, whoever it is, they have their reputation on the line and they are concerned about making sure that their customers are happy. I also have, in the case of eBay, PayPal, which is the payment processor that I most likely use to make that purchase, who acts as an arbitrator should there be a problem with the purchase. Last and not least, I have my credit card company, which is attached to my PayPal account, so that if there is a problem that none of the above have solved so far, I can go to my credit card company and say, hey, these guys didn't send me something that was legitimate. I have a problem with the purchase. They're not helping me out, and so forth. So in most cases, there will be recourse for a customer who has problems with the product that they purchased online. Now, it is not realistic for me to say if you are in the phone repair business and you're buying parts in quantity that you buy them on eBay or Amazon for a number of reasons. And on top of that, or I should say most importantly, is that we want to have a vendor that we can deal with. And sadly, it's difficult to do this sometimes. So as I stated in the beginning, I don't want to just say here's the easy answer to this because there isn't one. I can tell you which vendor or vendors I use, but unless you happen to be right down the street from me, those may not be a good option for you. I strongly encourage anyone who is in the phone repair business or getting into the phone repair business to do a couple of things. One, research and see what's available in your area. If you are anywhere near a coastline where there is a port of delivery for products that are coming in from outside the country, I would assume that you have at least a few distributors set up in the vicinity that are going to be getting these parts and sending them out to their customers. So if you're near LA, if you're near San Francisco, New York, I would assume somewhere in Florida, you've probably got boats coming in that are delivering products. Now, the other thing, of course, is that we need to figure out what the reputation is for these companies, how long they've been in business, how satisfied people are with the parts that they're buying, and how consistent will they be in the future. And that's a lot of things to throw into the mix, and it's the reason why, again, I shy away from really recommending any one vendor, even where I'm doing business, because we don't always see the consistency when it comes to phone parts that you would with a lot of other commodities, because there are so many different things that go into building replacement parts. And let me give you an example. We had a fairly reliable vendor that we were doing business with for a long period of time. And unbeknownst to them, there was a problem with the manufacturing process for iPhone 6 screens. I want to say this is about a year and a half, 2 years back. And it was something that couldn't be caught before these parts went to distribution because it took a certain period of time for the defect to appear. So specifically what was happening is that the frames that were attached to the piece of glass on the iPhone replacement screens for the iPhone 6 and the iPhone 6 Plus, over time would start to lose their adhesiveness. So especially in warm weather, and you know, we were buying these in the winter time, and when it got to be summer, what we found is that people would have their phones outside in the car, you know, anywhere basically where the temperature started to go up, and suddenly the glue on the plastic frame would fail, and you would see replacement screens that were repaired, you know, a week ago, a month ago, 2 months ago, whatever the time period was, and the glass was starting to lift up off of the display. Now, this made customers, you know, not surprisingly, think, oh, there must be something coming out of place. Let me snap it back into place. And of course, they would push down on the glass and crack it and then bring it back to the repair facility and say, hey, the screen that you sold me was defective. And we would say, yes, it is absolutely defective, but now it's also broken. So we are both in a very difficult situation because the customer obviously doesn't want to be paying for another replacement screen, although they were the ones that broke their screen, but they broke their screen in their mind because it was defective and started lifting up off the phone. So as you can imagine, someone is going to eat the cost on this screen. It may be the customer, it might be the repair facility, it might be the company that sold the parts, the distributor within the US, and ultimately it could be the manufacturer in China that the part came from. But every step along the way, all parties involved are saying, wait a minute, I don't want to give a refund on this because I didn't break the screen. And even if the glue failed, now we don't have anything to return. There's obvious physical damage because the customer tried to shove the screen back into the phone. So again, one of those situations that requires negotiating, tact, and really understanding where the customer's coming from and hoping that they can understand where you come from. So that aside, here's another consideration. And I think this is worth mentioning because people get the impression that all businesses are conducted in a similar manner, and that is obviously not the case. And it is especially unique when it comes to phone repairs in that, number one, there's not a lot of profit in selling repair parts. So if you haven't dealt with a distributor before, what you're going to find out when you begin buying parts is that customer service and them eating the cost on anything when there's a problem is going to be much more difficult than it might be for something else. So if you're used to dealing with a retailer, you know, you go to Walmart, Target, Best Buy, you know, anything like a lot of these larger stores. And in many cases, you can say, you know what, I changed my mind, I want to return this, give me my money back, and you will have a refund with virtually no questions asked, as long as you return the product. Well, when it comes to phone repair parts, it becomes more difficult because once the product comes out of the package, gets installed into the device, now anything that goes wrong could very well be your fault. And this is the way that someone who's running a business with a very small profit margin, remember, phone repair parts is currently, or selling phone repair parts is a very competitive business at this point. So the margins on profit have been driven down to an extent that when someone has to return something, you could wipe out their last 10 or 20 sales if they have to give you a refund on that. So as you can imagine, they want to be very careful about what they return, as should you. Because when a customer comes in with a Galaxy S7 screen and you repair it for them, and they take it home and come back in a week and say, oh, well, it doesn't work anymore, and you can see that there is physical damage on that phone, you are not going to, or to the screen itself, you're not going to be able to send that screen back to the distributor and get credit for it. It's just not going to happen, you know, with rare exception, because someone is now looking at you know, something that could be easily $175 or more, depending on what type of phone you're dealing with, cost. And the customer's saying, well, I want a replacement for free. And you're saying, well, you broke it. And again, you know, you'll usually get something along the lines of, well, it was broken before I dropped it, or it was broken before I tried to shove the screen back into the phone. But, you know, the fact of the matter is, it's physically damaged and it's going to be pretty much impossible to return it. And I've had a few different companies who had the position. This was the thought process was, you know, well, we spend a lot of money with this distributor. So even though there's a damaged, defective part once in a while, that's our fault. We're just going to return it to them. And if they don't want to give us a refund, well, we'll just do business elsewhere. Well, if that's an option, I say good luck. First of all, I don't think that's a very honest way to do business. If you know that the part was broken and it's no fault of the distributor, and you should obviously be testing your parts before you install them, it is not being honest to say, well, we're going to send this back as defective, is it? You know, if you say, hey, well, we broke it and now we'd like you to refund us, that would be the honest truth. But what would you expect from a statement like that? There's no motivation, you know, unless you're doing tens of thousands of dollars a month. And if you are, you may in some cases even be able to buy OEM products from the phone manufacturer. I'll get into that on another podcast. But for the most part, what you're saying is, hey, I broke it, give me a refund now. And with a very small profit margin, it's not really possible for a distributor to do something like that. So what many currently interpret as poor customer service often comes down to, listen, I sold this screen, I made $5 on it. I can't, you know, we're barely making a profit by shipping this out to you, you know, taking the order, paying to have a warehouse overhead and so forth. So don't expect people to bend over backwards because you have a screen that got broken. Now, if it's legitimately defective out of the package, we should, in most cases, with rare exception, be able to tell immediately, put it back in the package and ship it back to them. But if for some reason this problem appears later on, we should also be able to demonstrate that we installed it properly and we did not damage anything during the installation. And what I'm referring to here specifically are flex cables. So if you have a cable attached to the phone and you've put it under undue stress, you'll find that sometimes they'll operate short term, but later on they'll have a problem with the display. And when you send that display back in for a refund, what they're going to say is, well, we looked at this, we can see the cable's all tweaked here, and we cannot give you a refund. In the case of a broken LCD or AMOLED, it's going to be very difficult to convince anyone that it wasn't your fault because there are only a couple of things that will cause screens to break: impact, stress, pressure, and that's about it. Maybe water damage. Outside of that, screens don't typically just break on their own. It usually takes some force that causes them to become damaged. Now, while a lot of people who are new to the phone repair business kind of, you know, look around and say, oh, well, what you'll find out quickly is that not all vendors are equal. And shopping around to find the distributor with the lowest price may not always be in your best interest. So besides being competitive when it comes to pricing, there are a number of things to take into consideration. And mine is always going to be, how soon can the parts get to where I am? Because if I find someone three states away who has a slightly lower price than where I'm buying from now, but it's going to take an extra 48 hours for my parts to be delivered, that may not always be a concern if I'm stocking, you know, if I've got plenty of inventory and I've always got enough to do business for 2 weeks, which is a good rule of thumb. Because remember, we have things like the Chinese New Year, which, oh, did I not mention the Chinese New Year? I did mean to bring this up earlier. So every year about this time, there is a break in manufacturing in China, which is ultimately where most replacement parts come from. So be sure to put this on your calendar. Every year about this time, and right now I want to say it's probably the first day back to work, maybe, but it's going to throw things off for quite a while, and here's why. A lot of the manufacturing that takes place in China is on the East Coast, and the workers that come to work in these factories come from all over the place. So many of them travel a great deal of distance. They work, they're migrant workers. So they travel in order to work, and when they get to where they're going to be, they work very hard, they work long hours, and they don't take breaks up until this time of year when they get a week off to go home. So there is some travel time involved with this, and for the most part, it is virtually a complete blackout of manufacturing, at least when it comes to phone-related parts and accessories and so forth in China. So there's 1 week out of the year, roughly, where nothing is being made. Now, as a result, there are lots of companies out there who aren't aware of how this works. So during their first Chinese New Year experience, they're going to find out that any orders that they make will take an extra long time to arrive because, one, we have the Chinese New Year celebration where no one is manufacturing anything. They are closed down, so there is a minimum week delay before you can place your order. But on top of that, when these workers get back to the factories and when everything starts going again, now they've got back orders to catch up on. So that business owner who didn't know about the Chinese New Year, along with everyone else who didn't know about the Chinese New Year, has slowed everything down because there's this backlog of orders to fill. So we look at it as a minimum 2 weeks up to 3 weeks of the year that we don't expect to be able to get any parts shipped. Your distributors' supplies become depleted. There's nothing coming in from outside the country, and it just slows everything down. So realistically, if you could, I'd say have enough inventory on hand to do business for a month, but that's not going to be possible nor realistic, and not always the best decision anyways, because one problem with phone parts is that as they age, they tend to depreciate in value, and some of them very rapidly. So you can't have something sitting on your shelf in many cases for 6 months because you've already lost money on the depreciation of the value on those parts. So it's a very, it's kind of a balancing act where we want to have the right number of parts to be able to do business. And if we've got a few defects that we have to send back, we can still keep going. And at this time of year, I would have said, you know, a month ago or a couple weeks ago to stock up, make sure you have enough to get through the Chinese New Year, and definitely put it on the calendar. If you plan on being in this business a year from now, around the end of January, you want to make sure that you've got all of your inventory on hand because there's a possibility you won't be able to get these parts. And when that happens, you know that you have one chance to tell a customer, yes, come in, we have your part, we can repair it for you, before they go on to the next number in the book. Now, there are some exceptions to that problem. If you have a special order part that no one else in town is going to have, there's really not as much urgency for you to get that part before you lose that customer's business. But on the other hand, think of how good that customer is going to feel if you do happen to have their part on hand, or you can get it quickly. And that's the other good thing about special order parts, is that they tend to sit on the shelves of parts distributors longer than the more commonly used one. So what I'm really getting at is here is don't let yourself run out of important things. If you're fixing a lot of iPhone 6S screens and a lot of iPhone 6S Plus screens and a lot of Galaxy S7 screens, you want to make sure that you have enough of those screens on hand to do business during the Chinese New Year, and that if you have a defect or two, you're still not in terrible shape. And on top of it, that geographically you are located close enough to your distributor that you can get replacement parts fast. But where I'm at, if I make an order from my distributor, I am within range to the point where I will get my delivery next day. So if I order before 6 o'clock today, my parts, assuming they're available, will be at my door tomorrow no later than, I think it's like 10 o'clock in the morning. Now, not everyone, of course, has that same opportunity, but the closer that you are to a reliable parts vendor, the happier everyone is going to be when it's all said and done. Now, when it comes to one-time part purchases, this is what I do, and I didn't want to make this all about a pitch for my website, but I do set up links on GoCellPhoneRepair.com so that if you're looking for a part for a one-time repair, we have automatically vetted the sellers or the vendors who are selling these parts, so we know with confidence that the links on our website are going to point you to someone who sells a quality part and someone who understands the businesses and is used to doing business in phone repair. So that aside, if you decide to go off on your own to find your own vendor, be sure to do some background checking. You know, if you're using eBay or Amazon, or at least in the case of eBay, you can look at the feedback of any particular seller. You can see how satisfied their customers are. You can see how old their account is, how long they've been doing business, how their what their rating is, whether they're a power seller and so forth, and feel more confident than if you buy from someone who sold 3 items in the last month, because that's a brand new account and you don't really know where this stuff is coming from or how concerned that person is with their reputation. As I stated earlier, personally, I don't sell a whole lot of stuff on eBay. I do sell screwdrivers and at the moment a couple other random tools like that because it's very difficult for someone to be unsatisfied with a very simple item. When it gets to things like LCDs, AMOLEDs, charging ports, you know, there are all sorts of things that can go wrong during the refurbishment process, and I don't want to be the middleman brokering those sales. I want to send you directly to the person who understands that business and sells those type of parts, but I do check beforehand to make sure that these sellers are going to satisfy customers that come through my website. Okay, so there's the end of that pitch there, if you want to call it that. But I did want to make that available to anyone who's looking for a one-time purchase. Again, if you are in the phone business, you want to find a distributor that you can do regular or that you can communicate with that is located close to you, that is competitive, and hopefully has consistent quality. And this is the last thing about it. You know, unfortunately, we have done business with distributors in the past that I would not recommend today. So this is an ongoing thing. You know, when quality starts to slip, people start to cut corners. There was a business that we were buying very high quality parts from, and then they filed bankruptcy and left a lot of people with a debt that was never going to be repaid. So people had ordered thousands of dollars worth of parts, and then these guys said bankrupt, and that money never came back. So someone who's established for a while and someone who's going to continue to be in business, I know it's very hard to tell, you know, who's who, but by all means, there is only so much you can do. You know, I mean, nothing is guaranteed 100%, but get as much information as you can. And if you have the opportunity, talk to other people in the business and see who they're buying from, people that are in your area. I know it's difficult to go to your competitor and ask them where they get their parts, but hopefully you can network with some people that are close to you, but not so close that they feel that you're a threat. Or you can go in as a customer and say, hey, you know, what kind of part is this? And generally we can look at the stamp that's on the sticker or the barcode and figure out where the parts come from and then decide what we think about the quality. There are trade shows where you can go in and look at a vendor's parts. And, you know, initially what I wanted to do was be able to say, hey, here's a list of recommended vendors, and here's the problem with that. I can tell you about a vendor or several vendors that I buy from, but there are so many more out there that other people recommend and that other people are using that I have vendors approach me and say, hey, you know, how'd you like to make a video and show off our parts and et cetera and so on. And while that sounds like a good idea, my concern is this. If I was to say, hey, everyone send me a sample, let me check out your part, and then I'll be able to know who I can recommend, how do I know that they are going to send the same quality part to my customers? You know, there's always this thing where we find that people will start off with a very high quality product, and over time that quality starts to diminish. I think they call that quality fade. There's a term for it. I can't think of it at the moment. In any case, I am going to figure out a method to track the quality of parts from real cell phone repair stores, not from the vendors. I don't want them to show me how good their stuff is. I'm going to contact as many phone repair shops as I can throughout the United States, and the ones that are willing to share their information. I understand that some people see this as kind of a, you know, secret to doing business. I'm not going to tell anyone where I get my parts. That's fine. But I'm going to see if we can't figure out a way to narrow this down to the most reliable vendors that exist. And one more thing I would throw in there, and that's this: looking at the long term for phone repair, something that I did not mention up till now, but you will want to consider if you're in the business, and that is repairing your own displays. Because as we know, one of the number one things that we're repairing nowadays are screens, whether it's LCD or AMOLED. Typically, it's going to be Apple or Samsung. And what's happening is that generally, if the display is still good and the glass is cracked, so the glass only repair just requires replacement glass. I'm not going to say it's easy. I know that a lot of time and energy goes into this, and there are people who specialize at it. But all things considered, everything between us dealing with China and having to wait for things to ship back and forth and having quality control issues, it may at least be worth considering refurbishing your own screen. So being able to replace the glass on the display yourself when the customer's phone comes in. Now, this will take some specialized equipment, training, and lots of practice. It is not something I do, so I can only tell you, you know what we're going to do? We're going to get someone on here who is doing LCD refurbishing to talk about it, because they're going to know a lot more than I do. All right, that is it for the PhoneCast for today, February 6th, 2017. We're going to have phone repair training going on this month, February 20th through the 23rd at MD Wireless. That's in Antioch, California. If you want more information, you can find them on the web at gomdwireless.com. You can get more information, ask questions, pick my brain, whatever you like. Well, I shouldn't say that. If you have a question that you want me to discuss as a topic on the PhoneCast, by all means, hit me up on Twitter at FixMyCellPhone. You can find me on YouTube and Facebook. Just look for Go Cell Phone Repair. And you can email me directly, Mike at GoCellPhoneRepair.com. Have an incredibly awesome week, and I will talk to you again on Friday. I'll be back to recap the week in wireless. Thank you so much for listening.